Shabbat Shalom. So this is a Haftorah for Re'eh to see. And I'll ask Paul to read from Isaiah 54:11 to 55:5. Please. Thank you, Paul, for reading.
O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies and your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you will be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord, of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you, you shall run to you, because of the Holy One, your God, and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you.
Thank you, Paul. So this is the third Haftarah after the ninth of Av. This is a third Torah of consolation. So they typically have admonition, consolation, and so on, blessing, and so on, and so on. For these the themes of the Haftarah. If we could back up on the screen to verse 54, verse 11, this is what stood out to me in studying this Haftarah. And this was one of those things that surprised me as well. So in verse 11, it says, "Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires." That word that is in English up there as foundations is the word shemesh, which really surprised me, because shemesh is the sun. It's not all what you think. Some translations have battlements. Maybe your Bible has battlements or something like that. But in studying out the word shemesh and looking at the definitions, it's sun, sunrise, sun setting. The sun is an object of illicit worship. There is a place in Israel called Beit Shemesh, which was once a pagan worship of the goddess Shemesh. So that word shemesh is now in Hebrew is the sun, but it has a pagan origin. So it also means publicly or openly. And I think you can probably see the metaphor here that what's out in the sun is visible. It's out in the daylight for everyone to see. Like I said, it also talks about pinnacles, battlements, shields, as in shining and glittery shields. So I was looking at that and trying to figure out, and it occurs to me that this Haftarah has a lot of metaphoric value. It's very messianic age descriptive. So I was trying to figure out, in the Brit Hadashah, 1 John 1:5-8, says this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua his son cleanses us from all sin. So the foundation, we know who is the author and finisher of our faith. So we have a foundation for what we believe in Yeshua HaMashiach. So we know he is the chief cornerstone. Well, further through this, he goes into this Haftorah. He goes into verses 11 to 12, and we're looking at like a celestial city here. We're talking about the foundation. We're talking about gates and walls. And he's talking about making them fine jewels. So this is something that we don't see now. We see Yerushalayim, we see Jerusalem as a place of hewn stone. So this seems to be, it's going to be a city built with the hands of the Lord himself. So what's going on there in this place? Why do they need a wall? I'm just, wondering. Walls are for protection, right? But he's going to build a wall. And this will tell you why. So verse 13 through 15 of Isaiah 54 says that you're going to be taught by the Lord himself. Rabbi will get a break. He will not have to teach you anymore. The Lord himself is going to be teaching in that city. What's going to be there? Happiness is going to be there. Righteousness is going to be there. What will not be there? There will be no fear. It'll be a place of safety. That's odd, because going into verse 16, he says he's going to be having the blacksmith forge weapons. Maybe we see the need for the wall. Somebody told me the other day that isn't the religion all supposed to be about unity? And I said, no, it's about separation. That may be a politically incorrect statement in our time, but I'm kind of using the word religious just synonymously, but our belief, there's a great deal of separation. He says to come out from among the unbeliever. He says to build a wall. On one side of this wall, people are forming weapons. But this is the great thing about this, is where the great verse comes, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Or more appropriately translated, succeed. So what kind of place is it where they're constantly forming weapons that will never work? Sounds like hell. It just, what a terrible place to be, just constantly wanting to attack and attack and attack, knowing you'll never win. But we know our enemy will never win. They will never get victory. They may take a battle here in this life, but in this world, they win nothing. So there'll be safety. He also says in 17, every tongue which rises against you in judgment, in the Hebraic context, that is people who bring libel against you. That is a lawsuit. Our society is fascinated with lawsuits. We are consumed with lawsuits in our society. And every society of every major empire that's ever lived, towards their end, were infatuated with lawsuits. I think that could be a warning to us of where we are, because it makes us turn on each other. It makes us attack each other. And when there's no more of us to attack because we've done away with all of us, the enemy has won. So you will be free from legal action. There will be no more personal injury attorney commercials. Which I'm sure that is going to really be disappointing, because they are funny. So going into Isaiah 55, he's further describing this world. Now there's a lot of people that would like to see this now, but he says, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, there's no one paying for this. So you see a new celestial economy that's going to be in this place. This is a glimpse of Shabbat, by the way. The laws of Shabbat talk about we should not be buying or selling. He is giving us in that instruction to not buy or sell on Shabbat. He's trying to give us a peek into the celestial world. Okay, so he's, and if we could probably go through all of the commandments about and find all the nuggets from this that we'll probably go through every one, where in Shabbat, what we do is we are resting and taking a peek into the final chapter before we actually live it out. We are practicing for heaven. For the world to come. That's what we are doing in this walk and on Shabbat, is we should be learning and practicing for the world to come. I like the very ending of this. Verse 4 or 5. Just one more up. 5. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. Oops. And nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel. Some translation says, so you shall summon a nation that you did not know, and a nation that did not know you. I see in this a passing away of nations for a nation. That's where the unification is going to be. Unification is going to come, but it's going to come in this context that he gives us. Precious of a city made with precious jewels, gates, adorned gates, a new economy. We'll have no more fear of libel being lodged against us, slander. We'll be taught by the Lord himself. I find that interesting that we still need to be taught. So forever the student, be the student, because we are not going to be ever in a position where we're not going to be learning. And it's going to be an amazing day when he is the one teaching us from the Bema. And outside the wall will be a terrible sight of people forming weapons that will be like BBs against a battleship. They will never prosper. They will never succeed. And he is taking care of the weapons that will be used against his enemies that we don't even have to see anymore. So just looking through this, it's huge. It's a lot of metaphoric value, and there's a lot of real value in what's going on here. I rabbit trailed this, and I got several more pages, but I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.